Hello, and welcome to this first presentation of a new series that we're trying out. I plan to narrate each session of my family and I playing a new D&D campaign that takes place in the world of Alter Aeon. We're going to be using 3.5 rules because that's what we're most familiar with, but the setting will be that of Alter Aeon, albeit many years before the current era. Our players are my wife Kagome, who is playing as Kara, a war mage, my brother Drak, who is a hexblade named Morden, and my sister-in-law, Capitolina, who is playing as Tess, a sorceress. Tess has a ferret familiar named Fernando. All are first level characters. Here's a quick biography of our heroes. Kara was trained in the art of war at Relnoth University. Even though she is still a teenager, she graduated with top honors and afterwards signed on with a prestigious mercenary company. However, she and her fellows did their job a little too well, and after one battle, the enemy sued for peace, and Kara, like most other mercenaries there, found herself out of a job. Kara feels like her work on Slowey isn't done, and has decided to seek employment at the local mercenary guild rather than return to Ralnoth. Morden is a self-trained hexblade. He has worked as an independent soldier of fortune from an early age. He has revealed little else about his past, except that Morden has been working off and on Slowey for years, and knows the island well. He's also well-traveled and is acquainted with many distant lands. Tess is the daughter of a green elf bard and a human diplomat, and grew up in Ralnoth. She enjoyed a charmed life until her parents were murdered about a decade ago, and the killers were never caught. Tess supported herself by doing odd jobs around Ralnoth and discovered her latent sorcery powers by accident while doing farm work. She found her familiar hiding in a barn. She arrived at Slowey at the suggestion of the Wallachian Embassy and is looking for a fresh start. If you'd like to read some more background material to better understand the game setting, I would suggest reading the in-game help page about the island of Slowey and reading from the Great Library, The Island of Sulia, Volumes 1 and 2. Our story begins on the island of Slowey in the city of Vimarkin. As her first job as an independent mercenary, Kara has just negotiated with the mercenary guildmaster, an older gentleman named Gilbert, for a contract to recover a kidnapping victim. Apparently, the client believed it would be more frugal to hire the mercenary guild to recover the victim than it would be to pay the ransom. Gilbert said that the contract was too much for her alone, and she should wait for another guild member to come in looking for a job so they could take it on together. Not long afterward, Morden arrived in the guild hall, bringing a sack of kobold heads as proof that he had completed his contract to kill them. Gilbert paid Morden 3 gold pieces and asked if he was interested in another job right away, to which Morden answered in the affirmative. Gilbert then explained the contract to Morden and said that he and Kara could do the job together. Morden's first reply was to state that he preferred to work alone, but when Gilbert informed him that there might be 20 or more kidnappers involved, Morden changed his mind, deciding that there were too many enemies for him to take on alone. While Kara and Morden were talking, Tess arrived and nervously asked the guildmaster if there was any work he could offer her. Gilbert queried her regarding her qualifications, to which she replied that she was a sorcerer, which she accepted. Gilbert then told her that she should talk to Kara and Morden and see if they wanted help. After comparing each other's experiences and skills, the three of them decided to team up and were given the contract. According to the contract, the High Priest's daughter, named Pilar, was the one who had been abducted, so our heroes accordingly entered the cleric's guild hall to speak to him. As they drew near to him sitting at his desk, they could see that the high priest was an older man who wore a yellow robe and had a set of armor set beside him, but he didn't seem to notice their approach. It wasn't until one of them spoke that he took notice, and they correctly deduced that he was blind. The high priest said that the kidnappers had come the night before. He woke up just as they were leaving, and he estimated that there had been more than 20 of them. The guild hall was a single large room, with the only door being the front one they came through. Morden asked if he locked the door at night, and the high priest replied no. Our heroes searched the temple, but found little disturbed besides Pilar's bed. The high priest then said he thought that they headed north after leaving the guild hall and presented a ransom note written in Giant. Kara was the only one of the three who knew Giant, so she read it out loud. Bring 200 gold to the fissure in the boulder outside of the swamp. That was it. Kara, Morden, and Tess decided to wait until night before heading out. In the meantime, they concocted a plan. Since the ransom note did not have a time on it, they presumed that someone would be watching the boulder, and they intended to capture whoever that was and find out where the girl was from them. Our heroes headed down to the blacksmith to obtain some fake coins. After Kara informed the blacksmith of their intentions, he hammered out some fake coins from the dross and gave it to them free of charge, but also warned them that Pilar was a brat and not worth risking their lives for. Morden simply replied that they had a contract to fulfill. The trio then returned to the cleric's guild hall and informed him of their plan. The high priest seemed disinterested in the specifics. They then asked him for Pilar's yellow robe. After thinking about it, the high priest sold it to them for 3 copper pieces. So, it was decided that Kara would wear the robe and pretend to be from the temple, delivering the ransom. After nightfall, the three of them headed out of the city, following the dirt road northward. While Kara walked on the road, Morden and Test walked on either side of her off of the road. Gothos was in a full moon, and they only had the starlight to see by. After about an hour, Morden ran into something in the dark about as tall as he was. Instinctively, he pushed it forward out of the way, and it let out a groan. He called out to his companions, and they rushed over to see what it was, with Tess casting dancing lights to illuminate the situation. Morden had run into a zombie. Kara and Morden took turns pounding it with their weapons until it toppled over and quit moving. Morden stabbed it a couple more times with his scimitar, just to make sure. The trio then continued north until he had reached an intersection. The road forked, with one going toward Stillwater and the other going east into the Pollywog Swamp. Kara lit a torch and headed toward the swamp, with Morden and Tess staying outside of the torchlight, but close enough to see Kara. They quickly found a split boulder, and the war mage placed the sack of fake coins in the cleft of the stone. They were attacked immediately. Before they could react, the enemy struck at each of our heroes. A bandit emerged from behind the boulder and sent his heavy mace crashing down on Kara's head, knocking her out. Morden and Test were each attacked by a bandit, but fortunately spared the same fate, as Morden's armor protected him and Tess's attacker missed entirely. Morden lashed back at his attacker, but failed to land a blow. At great risk to her own safety, Tess defensively cast a magic missile at Kara's foe, and it struck him squarely in the head. His body toppled forward on top of the unconscious Kara. Upon seeing this, the bandit engaged with Morden broke off his attack and headed toward his fallen comrade, with Morden in pursuit. Tess endured blow after blow from her attacker while fending him off with her short spear, finally managing to bring him down. When the remaining bandit reached the boulder, he flipped over the body of the down bandit and was run through by Morden before he could render any sort of aid. With the bandit won, Morden quickly set to work stabilizing Kara while Tess berated him for having left her behind. Morden ignored her and revived Kara. The three of them then went back to Vemarken, easily convincing the gate guard to let them in. They let themselves back into the cleric's guild and ended up using the money they had looted from the dead bandits to pay the high priest for healing. Kara and Tess then slept in the pews while Morden slept in front of the door. In accordance with her strict training as a war mage, Kara was up first thing in the morning. She roused Morden and Tess, and they left the high priest asleep. With their spells refreshed, the trio decided to return to the scene of last night's previous encounter at the boulder. The bodies of the bandits had been removed, but it was easy to follow the trail of blood left behind as someone else had carried or dragged the corpses through the mire. After following the trail for a while, Tess spotted someone up in a tree wearing black armor like the other bandits. At maximum distance, she let loose a magic missile, which unerringly hit the mark, and the scout fell out of the tree, dead. At this point, our heroes decided to give up on the blood trail and picked up on the trail of the dead scout. The trail led back to a cave entrance with two guards outside. Our heroes spotted them without them noticing, so they tried to back up and circle around to catch the guards from behind. However, the guards heard them as they were trying to move silently, and a fight ensued. The guards fired their light crossbows at Kara and Morden, but the pair hurried to close the distance while Tess aimed and fired another magic missile at one of the guards. While the missile's flight was true, it failed to take down the bandit alone. As soon as she was in range, Kara cast Lesser Acid Orb at the other guard, instantly melting his upper torso where he stood. Morden cut down the remaining guard with his scimitar, and with no other enemies presenting themselves, they began to loot the corpses. While doing so, a girl matching the description of Pilar emerged from the cave, ranting and raving. While Morden and Tess could tell she was cross, Kara had to translate the girl's angry tirade, which included the following: "I was going to make a fortune," and "You killed all my men," and "You've ruined everything." Kara soon tired of the temper tantrum, and using the dead men as props, she intimidated Pilar into silence. Morden then tied a sack over her head, the same sack that had had severed kobold heads inside of it the day before, and heaved her over his shoulder. With the target secure, our heroes returned to town, delivering Pilar to the Mercenary Guild as the contract instructed. They split the payment three ways, for 5 gold pieces each. Gilbert told them to come back soon for another contract. As the trio turned to leave to sell the loot they had collected for a few extra coins, they saw Gilbert punch Pilar in the face. And that is where the session ended. This time around was a short, self-contained adventure designed to help the players get used to their characters, as we're all trying to get used to playing Dungeons & Dragons again. Some mistakes were made. In the second fight, I had declared that Tess took 6 damage in the surprise round, but I forgot to roll for concealment, so I had to retcon that. I also misremembered the DC for casting defensively and had Tess cast the magic missile to save Kara, when in fact she should have failed. We also completely forgot about Fernando, and I noted that he probably should have been making spot and listen checks along with everybody else. Tune in next time to see what our heroes will do next in the world of Alter Aeon, where every day is an adventure. Thanks for listening. And happy budding, everybody.